Longstreet lectured himself. Depression is contagious. Keep it to yourself. He needed something to cheer him, turned to two men behind him, found there was only one, not an aide, the Englishman Fremantle. Exactly what he needed. Longstreet drew up to wait. The Englishman came pleasantly, slowly forward. He was the kind of breezy, cheery man who brings humor with his presence. He was wearing the same tall gray hat and the remarkable coat. He said cheerily, tapping the great hat, "Don't mean to intrude upon your thoughts, General."
"Not at all," Longstreet said.
"Really, sir, if you'd rather ride alone."
"Good to see you," Longstreet said.
The Englishman rode up, grinning broadly through widely spaced teeth. He had entered the country by way of Mexico, riding in a wagon drawn by a tobacco-chewing man, who had turned out to be, in his spare time, the local judge. Fremantle had seen many interesting things. A casual hanging, raw floods, great fires. He was continually amazed at the combination of raw earth and rough people, white-columned houses, and traces of English manor. He had not gotten used to the crude habit of shaking hands, which was common among these people, but he forced himself. He was enjoying himself hugely. He had not changed his clothes in some days, and he looked delightfully disreputable, yet mannered and cool and light in the saddle. Longstreet grinned again.
"Did you get a chance to see anything?"
"Well, as a matter of fact, I did. I found a rather large tree, and Lawley and I sat out in the open, and there was quite a show. Lovely. Oh, lovely."
"You didn't happen to see a cavalry charge?"
Stuart, not yet returned. "Not a one," Fremantle gloomed, "nor a hollow square. You know, sir, we really ought to discuss that at length on some occasion, provided this war lasts long enough, which most people seem to think it won't. You fellows seem to do well enough without it, I must say. But still, one likes to feel a certain security in these matters, which the square gives, do you see? One likes to know that is where everyone is at given moments. Ah, but then," he took a deep breath, tapped his chest, "there's always tomorrow. I gather you expect a bit of an adventure tomorrow." Longstreet nodded.
"Well, I shall try to find a position of advantage. I will appreciate your advice, although, of course, if I'm ever in the way at all, you must feel free. I mean, one must not hamper operations. Don't spare my feelings, sir.
But if you'll tell me where to stand..."
"I will."
Fremantle whacked a mosquito.
"Another victory today.
When I am clear about it all, I shall write it down. Expect you chaps are getting rather used to victory, what?"
"Damn!"
He swatted another bug.
"Must say, enormously impressive, this army. Yet the federal fellas just keep on coming.
Curious. I have a bit of difficulty, you know, understanding exactly why. Sometime when there's time, but the war is ending, of course, I can feel that myself. That is the message I shall transmit to my people. No doubt of it." He eyed Longstreet. Longstreet said nothing. "Your General Lee is a wonder."
"Yes," Longstreet said.
"A thing one rarely sees," Fremantle paused. "Remarkable," he said. He was about to say something else, but changed his mind.
"He holds this army together," Longstreet said.
"Extraordinary dignity."
"Extraordinary.
I mean, one does not expect it. No offense, sir. But your General Lee is an English general.
Extraordinary.
He has gained some reputation, sir, as of course you know, but there is a tendency in Europe to, think of Americans as, somewhat behind the times. Sometimes what, how do I say this? One is on tricky ground here, but, sir, of course you understand. There are these cultural differences, a new land and all that. Yet what I mean to say is,
One did not expect General Lee.
To be a gentleman, Longstreet said.